Well, again, as we come to the Word, let's just ask the Lord to be teaching us this morning. Father, we just thank you. We thank you today that you, again, draw us into your presence. And Father, I pray that today, as we come here, we may have other things on our minds. There's things that distract us, things that are things going on in our lives that we need to be dealing with. Those are real things in our lives. But Father, might you today penetrate through those things. Give us your word that we might hear what you have to say and recognize that in fact you are speaking to us about those very things that we have in our lives. That you speak to us about those things. You want us to live for you. That you have these things for us today. Might we treat them as a precious gift that you give, that we might pay attention, might hear from you, and might be able to walk from here applying those things in our lives. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I know we come here from a lot of different traditions, and this Easter season, you may have come from a tradition where Lent was a big deal. Now, you know, we don't really track with Lent too much here, and maybe people I know that, you know, Lent wasn't a big deal. But when I grew up and Lent was a big deal. I mean, it was like, you know, everybody knew it was Lent. You start out Lent, you had Ash Wednesday, and you went and got the ashes on the forehead, and you did all that, and then you usually had something that you were giving up for Lent, right? And so I don't know if you did that when I was growing up. We, you know, sometimes it was candy. I remember one year, my family, we decided to give up TV. That was, I mean, I tell you what, that was tough. But we did watch the news, though. We watched the news, and then we didn't have any TV for 40 days. That was what we gave up. And it's kind of that sense of, you know, you give up and you're supposed to be prepared for Easter, but, you know, we always kind of took it as kind of like something that, you know, well, you just had to kind of grit through it. We don't necessarily, you know, Lent isn't something that, you know, we know about, but, you know, we don't see many advertisements for what to do during Lent. You ever see that? Here's how you dress for Lent. No one ever does that. But you know what's interesting about Lent? When we start Lent and when we finish Lent, we're all excited about that. Do you realize, you know what Fat Tuesday is, right? You know what Fat Tuesday is? You remember Fat Tuesday? It's the Tuesday before Ash Wednesday. And Fat Tuesday, why do they call it Fat Tuesday? Because you go and you celebrate. Isn't that right? You know what Mardi Gras is? Mardi Gras is the run-up to Lent. And Fat Tuesday is the last day of Mardi Gras. Because what you're doing, you see, is you're getting all, like, partied up so that you can last for 40 days, so that you can get to Easter and dress up good on Sunday morning. All right? You know, Lent is this kind of period of time that we do because, you know, we're probably supposed to do something and sacrifice something, but we don't really necessarily see what the value of it is other than just kind of gritting it out. That's what I always thought as a kid. It was kind of like, is this time when it was just a, I don't know, I'm not sure what, I kind of had a sense of it, but it was kind of like, you're supposed to give up something. I wasn't quite sure why. And we really treat it like we do on Fat Tuesday and Happy Easter, because we just want to kind of get through it, but we like the happy times. We like the happy times. And so as we approach Easter, Easter's only a couple weeks away. As we approach Easter, we're just going to be taking, as we've been, you know, talking about lament for a number of weeks here, and so now, and we're going to just kind of prepare ourselves here for Easter. And today, we want to start taking a look at where does Lent really kind of, this idea of Lent or this idea of kind of this somber time, where does that fit into Easter anyway? How does that fit in? Is that just something we kind of do, or what does that tell us about our relationship with the Lord? And to maybe be able to understand that in a more precise way, and to be able to see how that can really contribute to us and help us understand how to live for Jesus. You know, because I think something we got to recognize is Easter is about resurrection, isn't that right? But you know what? If you don't know if there's anything wrong with your life, what do you need resurrection for? Isn't that right? If life is good, then what is resurrection? If I don't understand it. And I'd like to propose today that really what this idea of Lent has been, and I don't think you need to take 40 days of Lent. There's nothing in Scripture that says we got 40 days we got to spend before Easter in order to celebrate Lent, so to speak. But that concept of what we're doing, I think we need to be drawn in and thinking about what is it that we can tap into about this that helps us understand Easter in a fuller way, to understand what it is about this Resurrection Sunday. Because you see, I think many times Easter can just become this time when, yeah, we just dress up. You go spend some money on some nice clothes and we, you know, dress to the nines, isn't that right? And show up in our Easter bonnets and all those kind of things. But when we think about the world in which we live, it just seems like this kind of utopian sort of, you know, well, let's pretend like everything's okay. Resurrection is merely a metaphor. But see, Easter, when we celebrate Easter, we celebrate something that's a reality. And perhaps we aren't seeing the reality of it because we've missed the preparation for it. So today, we're going to take a look at the shadow, because really Easter is about victory, isn't it? That's what it's supposed to be about. It's supposed to be about victory. We defeat death. Isn't that right? So it should be something we should shout about. It should be a victory. We're going to take a look at under the shadow of victory today. We're going to take a look at the victory. We're going to kind of take a look at that, and we're going to look under the shadow of victory and see what's there that maybe will help us think about what he has for us. So we're going to do this today by taking a look at Luke chapter 19, and we're kind of a week ahead here. If you normally know, you'd celebrate Palm Sunday next week, and our kids will be presenting some things next week about Easter next week. But today we're going to take a look at this, what we call Palm Sunday, Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. So in Luke chapter 19, starting in verse 28, I just want to read this preparation we have here, this kind of preparation for a victory parade. You know, when a team wins a championship, you know, they have a parade, right? And because they've just won something. And well, here's what we have here. We have this preparation here for this victory parade. So here we read this. It says, after Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethage and Bethany, at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. I'm sorry. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Tell him, the Lord needs it. Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, why are you untying the colt? They replied, the Lord needs it. They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Well, some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, teacher, rebuke your disciples. I tell you, he replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. We got quite a scene here, don't we? We got this parade being set up here, this entry into Jerusalem. Now we have recognize that Jesus had set his mind to go to Jerusalem. Okay, in chapter 9 of Luke, that's a fair amount of time before, it says there that Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem. So this was an intentional, he was coming with purpose. He was coming into Jerusalem. He wasn't just kind of, you know, deciding to kind of bop in and show up and kind of was on his way someplace else. He was focused in on coming to Jerusalem. And now we know he was coming to Jerusalem for the last time. He'd been there before. He was coming there for the last time, wasn't he, to come for the Easter week. He knew he was coming there, and he'd set his face on this. And so now he arrives. He gets there. He comes to Jerusalem, and we see him here kind of directing the traffic, don't we? He comes and he says, as he's approaching, he tells his disciples to go and find this colt and one that's never been ridden. Now, sometimes people like to portray Jesus as kind of this, he was this figure that started doing things, and the crowd just kind of pulled him along. You know, kind of this picture of kind of like Jesus was kind of just reacting to the crowd. He was kind of stirring things, kind of like a political campaign, you know, kind of thing. He was stirring things up, and as the crowd came along, and then they may even pushed him farther than he was intending to go. I mean, that's the way some people approach Jesus. It's kind of like, well, you know, I didn't really intend to do all this. He kind of got caught up with it. And kind of people were saying this about him, and you know that's what some people would say, or kind of just it's just kind of just going along. But we see here that Jesus was in complete control, isn't that right? Because we see here he tells the disciples, here he tells these two, he tells a couple of them to go in and get this colt, and sure enough, it's there. It's there just as they said, and of course then someone asks, well, why are you untying it? They give the answer, and it's cool, it's good, okay? It's exactly, Jesus knew exactly what he was doing. He knew exactly what he was doing. He had this all under control. He gave these specific directions. Now, this was something that was normally done. This was something that dignitaries would do all the time. They would come into a town or something like that. They would come and they would go to someone and in a sense, requisition stuff, personal property from people, and say, look, you know what? I'm coming into town, and they would have been given the right to be able to ask someone to use some of their personal property for something. Okay? Like if they needed a colt, they needed a horse, they could come in and they could say, like a king was coming, or a dignitary was coming, or a rabbi was coming into town and they needed something. This is kind of common practice. So it's not like Jesus is being rude here, but he had set this all out, and so he's following this tradition, and he comes and he sets this out, and he had a specific reason that he called this out. Now you gotta understand, when you're thinking about, so get this picture here. Jesus is coming into town, right? And there's all these people, there's all this excitement. He's, you know, he's on a roll, you know what I mean? He's on a roll, he's got it going, and so he can pick anything he wants to pick. And he picks this colt, this little donkey. You know what I mean? It's just kind of this, you know, now if you were gonna come into town and make a show, would you go get a little donkey? No, you'd probably get a big white horse, wouldn't you? You do something where it's like, you know, you get this big horse, and you come riding into town, and man, look at, no one can miss me, because he's riding the wave, isn't that right? So isn't that what you think he would do? Because isn't Jesus worth that? Isn't he worthy of that, don't you think? He's worthy of any king would be coming into town. You know, this is a victory parade. It's like, let's act like a victor, isn't that right? So he just gets, but he gets on this little colt, and it's kind of like, well, this is kind of odd. What is this all about? Well.